Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
All right. How many of you here envy John and that view of the lake is fantastic? Thank you, John, old boy. For those of you who are new to our church, let me just give you a bit of context. John has just recently moved back to his home country, Canada. He's been with us pretty much his whole adult life for the past 7 years. He's been part of our church family, been on staff here, and God has a new assignment for him, a new plan for his life. So he's gone back home to be with his dad. His mom passed away several years back, and we're just so grateful for John and the blessing that he's brought to our lives. And we're believing that God is going to continue to do amazing things through John in Canada or wherever God might want to have him. So thank you, John. Just to reiterate some of the points that John made, Answer is happening this Tuesday. So if you have not done Answer yet, I want you to sign up. I want you to come. It doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for the last 50 years or maybe you're not even a Christian. I'm telling you, every person who's done Answer has come back to tell me that it's been life-changing experience for them. So again, I want you to sign up for Answer. You can simply go to therocks.info or outside after the gathering. Just ask any one of us who look like they know what they're doing how you can sign up for that, right? And if you are new to our church, I want you to sign up for next welcome dinner. Not happening tonight, but next Sunday night or this coming Sunday. And it's obligation free. We're going to serve you a nice meal, a nice dinner. It's an opportunity for you to ask any questions about our church, our vision and all that, and what next steps you might want to take if you want to be part of this church community. Again, it's not a membership class. If you, after next welcome dinner, you want to go to some other church, that's totally fine with us. We just want to get to know you a bit better. So make sure you sign up. You can go to info as well to sign up for that. Or you can also go outside and ask for help if you need help to sign up, because we need to know how much food to prepare. Okay? So that's happening next Sunday. Well, since the pandemic started, couple of years ago, people have been asking pastors such as myself these two questions, all right? The first question relates to the end times sort of questions, like, is the pandemic a sign that Jesus is coming back soon? Is the return of Jesus imminent? Is this the beginning of the end? So those are the first questions that are often asked toward people such as myself. And the second question relates to the judgment of God kind of questions. Like, is God judging our world? Should we call nations to repentance? Maybe God will remove the COVID-19, will remove the pandemic. Now, regardless of how you answer these questions, I believe, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, these questions are missing the point. They are interesting questions, no doubt, but they are not important questions. They're not helpful questions, in my opinion. In fact, if anything, maybe a more relevant question should be, why do we have such low tolerance for discomfort? Especially people living in the first world countries such as Australia, America, or the UK, or whatever. You know, why do we have such low tolerance for discomfort? Now, this is like honest talk, right? Like many of you, I don't like to wear masks. Like many of you, I hate lockdowns. Like many of you, I don't like needles. You know, I hate needles. I'm scared of needles. I look big and strong, but I hate needles. So again, these are some of the discomfort that we have to go through during this time. But if I were to say that all this actually mean that my personal space has been infringed upon, that my personal freedom has been infringed upon, that, you know, I'm being persecuted. If I say those things, that means I don't have any clue or I don't have any idea what suffering really is. Because people throughout generations who live on other parts of the world, you know, they have had to navigate through this, you know, similar persecution, even much worse than what we are going through right now. So I think we need to be really, really careful and think about things that we are saying, okay? Now, If you see images like this, for example, I don't know what comes to your mind. This is not in the Middle East. This is Sydney, July 2021. And this is Melbourne, August 2021. And I read last night that there was a new protest in Melbourne where six police officers were taken to hospital because of confrontation that they've had with anti-lockdown protesters. And they suffered serious injury like broken bones and things like that. Now, is it really necessary, these things? Or a more important question would be, if Jesus were to be alive today walking among us, would he do something like this? You know, I'm sad to report that some of these people who are doing all these things, they claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I know you have your opinion about all this stuff, and I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to say that you should not voice your concern. I'm not here to say that you are not impacted by all this. I'm not here to say that, you know, you cannot say anything. No, I'm not saying that. But here's what I'm saying. Collectively, as a church, is this really where we should focus our attention to? Or maybe to put it a more positive way, where should we as the church, talking about the body of Christ, where should we really focus our attention and energy at this time? You know, again, we have a lot of interesting questions to answer, to ponder, to discuss, to argue, but the question that we need to be asking is, where should we focus our attention and energy? So for the rest of our time this morning, I want to look at how the first century Christians actually respond to persecution. We want to look at how the first century Christians react to a natural disaster like what we're going through right now, even though some of you think what we're going through is not really a natural disaster. But this is an important, important question that we need to be asking, because the questions that were asked to me, these are not the questions that the first century concerned about when they are faced with persecution and a global, you know, sort of suffering that for whatever reason God chose not to withhold. So their response could be or should be our response in facing whatever we are facing right now. All right? Before we dive in to look at what is recorded for us in the book of Acts, I want to give you a bit of context. When Pontius Pilate gave in to the religious leaders and gave Jesus to be crucified, to die on the cross, from that moment on, it was free for all for persecution of the followers of Jesus Christ. From that time on, people, religious leaders especially, they no longer had to take someone whom they believe were follower of Jesus and drag them to Pontius Pilate to be executed. You know what they did? They just downright, they executed them themselves. The first follower of Jesus that we know of that was executed was a guy by the name of Stephen. Stephen was a nice guy. His job was to distribute food to the widows, all right? But when he was charged with this, you know, blasphemy or whatever, Stephen spoke up, and then they didn't like what they heard, so they stoned Stephen to death. That's what happened. And this is what happened. From that time on, it was a hunting season for the followers of the way, or the Nazarene, that were called at the time, all right? And we pick up the story in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 1, where Luke, Dr. Luke, recorded for us, on that day, the day Stephen was executed, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And from that point on, that was the end of Christianity. No, that's not what happened. From that point on, this is what happened. Those who had been scattered preached the word of God wherever they went. They did not allow the fact that they are no longer allowed to meet in Jerusalem. They did not allow, you know, the fact that it's no longer safe for them to meet. It's no longer legal for them to meet. They did not allow that to stop them from doing what they knew was the right thing to do. You know, like the Apostle Paul said, you know, they were compelled by the loving kindness of Jesus, the forgiveness, the grace that they received from Jesus. And they told themselves, look, we could not do anything else. We got to keep preaching this good news, this amazing news that Jesus came to our world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. So they kept on doing what they knew was the right thing to do. They kept on preaching about Jesus wherever they went. All right? Now, when they were being persecuted, the followers of Jesus were being persecuted, the main chief persecutor was actually a guy named Saul. He was a Jewish leader, and he actually literally dragged men and women out of their homes to be put in prison, to be executed, and pretty much he just did that all over Jerusalem. And if that was not enough for him, he was on his way to Damascus to persecute even more Christians. He was actually responsible for Stephen's death. But on his way to Damascus to execute even more Christians, Saul met with the living Jesus. The resurrected Jesus actually appeared to him, stopped him literally on his track, and Jesus spoke to Saul and said, "Saul, Saul, why did you persecute me?" And from that moment on, Saul became from the biggest killer, the biggest, antagonistic, he was antagonistic towards Christianity, he became the biggest opponent of Christianity, started preaching the gospel all around the world, and even wrote 2/3 of our New Testament, from whom we get all most of our theology and doctrines right now, 2,000 years later. All right, so let's continue to pick up the story in Acts 11, verse 19. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews in this area. But that's not all. Verse 20, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also. They began to preach the gospel to the non-Jews, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Antioch is about 500 kilometers north of Jerusalem. So this is like the gospel spread that far out because of the persecution that happened in Jerusalem. All right? And now the gospel that was up until that point was exclusively preached only to the Jews. Now the message that Jesus loved the whole world, that Jesus died for the sins of the world, that message was spread now to the non-Jewish people, to the Gentile world, all the way to Rome, and all the way right now, 2,000 years later, here we are in Australia. A lot of us are followers of Jesus Christ. And the Lord continue to add to their number. Listen to verse 21. The Lord with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. By the hundreds, by the thousands, people, because at the end of the day, we all know that our greatest need is the need of forgiveness, the need of knowing that we can have a relationship with God. And that's exactly why people, by the hundreds, by the thousands, chose to believe in Jesus Christ, to the point that the Christians in Antioch, they could not handle the growth that they had. So they had to call for help. So they called Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, for help. And the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch to teach them. Even Barnabas could not handle the amazing growth that they were experiencing. And Barnabas called his good friend Saul, who used to persecute the Christians. So if you don't like Christians, you would like Paul. So Barnabas seek the help of Saul to come and teach these new Christians about Jesus. So in verse 26, we read, so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Those were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, this is what's amazing. When I read this amazing account of how the first Christians, how the church spread in the first century, it started because of the persecution that happened in Jerusalem. If there was no persecution in Jerusalem, there wouldn't be this group of Gentile believers in Antioch, and this is the first place where they were first called the Christians. All right? And if you read the book of Acts, this very careful account written by Dr. Luke to describe to us what happened in that first century, not once, not once will you read, and the first Christians protest against Rome and argue why they were being persecuted. Not once. Not once did they ask, why is this happening to us, Lord? Are you coming back soon? You know, not once did they ask those questions. Even though probably they were thinking it, but not once. They didn't have time to discuss those questions. In fact, they went on, you know, doing what they knew was the right thing. Just kept preaching the gospel, all right? And then what happened next took a very, very interesting turn. In verse 27, we read, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And Antioch is part of the Roman world at the time. All right? So Agabus stood up and said, guys, you got to get ready because there's this severe famine that's going to happen throughout the known land at the time, okay? Now, when famine happened in those days, it was deadly, okay? That's why if you read the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, how famine happened in Egypt, you know, the whole world was devastated because of that. But thank God for Joseph, who had the wisdom from God to store 7 years of grain, enough for the 7 years of lack that they were having. But the point I was trying to make is this. This famine was going to be so severe. In fact, when Luke recorded what happened, the famine had already happened. Okay? Again, when they heard this news about the famine that was about to happen, they didn't ask the question like, why is this happening to us, Lord? Do you want, maybe it is because the Roman Empire is so evil, they were so evil that they needed to repent. Maybe we should preach the gospel and ask them to repent or something like that. No, they did not ask those sort of questions even once. Are you coming back again soon? No, not once. But N.T. Wright, one of my favorite theologians, he wrote this. These are the sort of questions the first century Christians were asking when they heard the news that there was going to be severe famine in the land and they were going to be affected as well. N.T. Wright, who wrote an article called God and the Pandemic, he said, the first century Christians, when they heard this news, this bad news of a global pandemic, asked these three questions. Who will be at risk? How can we help? Who should we send? Isn't that amazing? They knew they were going to be affected by this famine themselves, but instead of thinking about themselves, they thought about other people and they asked themselves, who are more at risk than me with this famine that is going to come? So they realized the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, they're going to be severely affected by this because not only are they labeled outlaws already, not only was it difficult for them already to find jobs and all that, this famine is going to come. It's going to destroy them. So they decided, even though we're going to need all the resources that we can have to protect ourselves from this coming famine, we know that the people in Jerusalem needed these resources more than we do. How can we help them? Who should we send? So this is their response. It's always been there in your Bible, but I never realized it until I prepared for this message. It's really, really touching. I cried when I read these next few verses. This is the response of the non-Jewish people in Antioch. They did not know the people in Jerusalem. They didn't know their names. They were not going to get anything back in return, but this is how they responded. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea. Listen to this. Everyone giving as much as they could. Even though they knew, man, if you're not careful, we might die from this famine. But no, they didn't think about themselves. They think about others who were having it worse than them. So they decided to send relief, and everyone, that's the key word here, everyone gave as much as they could, And they told Paul and Barnabas, you've helped us enough here. We want to send you back now and bring all this relief that we gathered together and give them to our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Now, again, they did not ask the question, God, why are we suffering? Why do you send this, why do you send this disaster our way? But they decided, those are interesting, but we're not going to ask those questions. Instead, we're going to be asking a relevant, important, practical question. What can we do to help? It's easy for us to miss this. But this sort of generosity is unheard of in the first century. I don't know if you know this. I just found out about this myself. This is very, very fascinating. In the first century, or in those days, there were generous people. I'm not saying there were not generous people. There were generous people in the first century, but the type of generosity that people had in those days, it was not this kind of generosity. You know, usually people were generous toward other people when they knew that they could get something back in return. For example, they're usually generous to government officials because, you never know when you need their help next time. They were generous to their friends because you never know when you were going to be needing their help next time. So their generosity always had something in return in mind. But this time, this was brand new. Like literally, this was brand new. It was unheard of. In fact, this act of generosity displayed by the first century Christians was the reason why we had this term called caritas or charitas, from which we get the word charity. The word charity did not exist prior to this time, because until then, people were helping other people because they knew they could get something back in return. But if you Google the word charitas or caritas, you would get a response. I tried this last night. Like, it's Christians' act of kindness toward humanity. That's what charitas or charity means. Until then, there was no such word. So this is giving to relieve the physical and financial distress of others without expecting anything in return. Again, if you fast forward 2,000 years later, if we can take a page out of the first century Christians' book, all right, what can we do? What kind of questions should we be asking? Yeah, it's interesting to discuss and debate whether or not this is the beginning of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's very interesting to discuss and debate, where did this virus come from? Is it from Wuhan? Or is it man-made? Is it natural? It's interesting for us to argue and debate about that. But what would that do to us? At most, we will fight among each other. As I've seen on social media, we unfriend each other because we have differences in opinion on this, and they're not even helpful at all. But instead, I reckon what we should be asking is, what can we do as followers of Jesus Christ at this time to make a difference? Because that's the brand of Christianity that was known to the people. Christians were famous for being charitable. Christians were famous for being generous. In those days, when there was a plague, when everybody left town, Christians were the one who stayed behind and helped. That's how Christianity spread all around the world. And I'm telling you, the way we need to respond, and one way, in my opinion, we can respond is to this campaign that we call Be Rich. For those of you who are new, let me tell you, in case you have a wrong view of what Be Rich is all about, people, will tell you how you can get rich, but we're going to teach you in the next few weeks how you can be rich. And we get this phrase from the word of Saul, who became Paul, who wrote to his protege Timothy. And he said this, "Command those who are rich in this present world to do good," and this is where we get our phrase from, "and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share." Command those who are rich in this present world. By the way, if you earn more than $40,000 a year, you are among the top 1% of the richest people on the planet, all right? And this is a commandment for you and for me and for everybody here. Regardless of how much money you have, we can all be rich in good deeds to be generous and willing to share. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to learn together how to give, how to serve, and how to love our neighbors. There are three amazing organizations that we partner with this year. Okay, at The Rocks, we don't want to duplicate what others are already doing so good at. You know, to me, that's like not efficient. Instead, as the body of Christ, we need to work together and champion and support what people are already doing amazing at. And one of our partners, this was our partner last year as well, is Pregnancy Problem House. Pregnancy Problem House provides free, confidential, and non-judgmental care for teens, women, and families experiencing unintended pregnancy. And the money raised this year will go towards the Hero Moms program. It is a mentoring and support program which provides free practical and emotional support for teens, women, couples, and families who are pregnant in challenging circumstances. The second partner that we're going to support this year is The Crew. The Crew provides short-term relief through hot meals, food hampers, cleaning, and shelter for people who are home struggling in the Rockingham and Kwinana area. Again, amazing, amazing organization. And the money raised this year for The Crew will go towards their commercial kitchen fit-out for their community meals and soup run. It will also go towards hot and cold food servery and tables for the dining room, which serves homeless people and families who are doing it tough. Very, very worthwhile project to give to. And new for this year is our new partner, Ebenezer Aboriginal Corporation, which provides accommodation support for at-risk youth and vocational training to young people and families. This week, we went to visit them, and I want you to see and hear for yourself what they do. So let's see what they have to say.
My name is Martin Smith. I'm the CEO of Ebenezer Aboriginal Corporation. We're doing some exciting things out here in Balga. We're growing our services to meet the demands of the needs of Aboriginal people within our community.
If you knew a bit more about my story, you'd understand why, you know, it means so much for me to be working at this organisation. Actually, I was a client first, and I'd come from a different, whole different background. I was really appreciative and grateful when I was given an opportunity to work at Ebenezer. This has been my first job ever. So it's really, really an honour to be able to give back to my community.
I love being here because we're able to support people, help people and get people on the right track.
Just seeing the flow on at our bedroom relationship between husband and wife and even parents and children, and it's really rewarding. We've been getting some really good results, and it makes it worthwhile.
So behind me we have the shed. So the shed, we're in partnership with the church here in Balga. So what we're doing is we're building the shed to support some of our families in the community, but also support the work that we're doing in the church as well. So we want to run men's programs, women's programs, children's programs out of the shed.
Lives have been changed, I've seen that, and we look forward to what we're able to achieve in the future.
They're doing an amazing job, and the money raised this year that we're going to give to the Ebenezer Aboriginal Corporation will go towards fitting the new shed that will be turned into the main building and office space and developing a new Christian leadership program. And we also have two new partners this year. A bit later on in the love week of our campaign, which is the third week, we're going to work together with the Australian Red Cross. You will have an opportunity to give blood. A representation from the Australian Red Cross will come here, not next week, but the week after. And also we will have an opportunity to help children around the world who are disadvantaged to be able to celebrate Christmas through the Operation Christmas Child. That's going to happen a bit later on as well. But today is our Give Week. And our goal for this Give Week for today is 150-100. What does that mean? That means I want 100% participation. We don't have a monetary goal, but we have a participation goal. And my goal is that 100% of you, that's right, every single one of you will participate today by giving $50, and we're going to give 100% of it away. That's right, 100% of it away. So here's what we're asking you to do. We're asking 100% of you to $50 per person, and we'll give literally 100% of it away. We're not even going to keep 1 cent of your giving today. This t-shirt that you see Janine is wearing, I'm wearing, this is our own money. It's not going to be taken from your $50 that you're going to give today. Okay, so you can rest assured that every single cent will go to our ministry partners, Pregnancy Problem House, the crew, and the Ebenezer Aboriginal Company. Now, for some of you, you cannot afford to give $50. I understand that. Give whatever you can, maybe $20, but I do want 100% participation. For others of you, $50 is way too small. You can add an extra zero or two to this amount. You actually should give $500. You should give $5,000. And when you do, again, we're not going to keep a single cent. We're going to give all of them away. Last year, we collected tens of thousands of dollars that we gave away over a single Sunday, a single weekend. All right? My pastor friends asked me, don't you need money for yourself? You know, you can give your whole collection, the whole offering away. I said, that's right. We do this every year, and we will be, you know, we are so looking forward to do it every year, because we know how much not only it blesses us, we know how much it blesses our ministry partners as well. So we want you to participate 100%. All right. Why are we doing this? Again, taking a page from the first century Christians' book. The reason we do this is because of this. This is the bottom line of today's message. The Church of Jesus Christ, above all else, should be known for its compassion and generosity. Yes, we have to have the right teaching and all that, but people don't care about your doctrine. People don't care about your teaching unless you can make a difference in their lives. We, like the first century Christians, need to be known for our generosity and our compassion toward people. My good friend Dave Adamson wrote this, and to me this is incredible. This is amazing. He says, wouldn't it be amazing if when all this COVID-19 stuff is over, the rest of the world could look back and say that while they may not agree with what we believe about Jesus, Christians were the most compassionate, generous, hope-filled people in the community. Imagine that. Imagine when COVID-19 is all over, people look back and say, wow, during those times, the Christians were amazing. They were so generous. They were so helpful. You know, that's how Christianity spread all over the world. And that's, I believe, what Jesus wants to be known as in our community. So here's what I want you to do. Right now, I give you permission to take out your mobile device. And I want you to fire up, I'm going to do the same. I want you to fire up Safari or Chrome in your browser. And I want you to type this address, www.therocks.info. And then you will see a tab. That's my phone. Yeah, this is my phone. From the comfort of your chair, we want you to do it not just today, but before you leave. That's why I give you some time to do it now. Go to this address. And then you will see a tab on top that says Be Rich, okay? I'm going to do this. I already did it this morning. I'm going to do it again. And you will see a tab that says Be Rich. You simply tap on that, and then you can enter in your details. You might receive an SMS code, and then you just paste that code, and then it's very easy. It's going to take you about 1 minute to do this. You can also give by cash if you want to give the old-fashioned analog way. We have envelope on your seat that looks something like this. You can also put your details here or put your cash inside this envelope. And on your way out, you can put them inside the giving drop boxes on the back wall, the yellow-colored wall on the back of this auditorium. You can do it that way as well. For those of you who are giving regularly already, every month or every week, we thank you for your generosity. Can I challenge you? Can I encourage you to give 50? $50 on top of what you are already giving. That's what I'm doing. That's what my wife is doing. Can I challenge you to do that? Like I said, we need every single cent to go to our ministry partners. And if you're listening online, I want you to participate as well, because you are part of our community too. So go to www.therocks.info, select Be Rich, and you can participate that way as well. Please do that before you switch off your computer today. All right? Give you a few more moments. Oh, we also have merch sale outside. So you can find the No Perfect People Allowed t-shirt, some jumpers, some sweaters, and all the proceeds will go towards Be Rich this year. So make sure you buy like 5 No Perfect People Allowed t-shirt to give away to your friends or something. And that's going to be fantastic if you could do that after the gathering today. All right? And come back next week for our Serve Week next week. Guess what? You're going to have an opportunity to volunteer at these amazing organizations. You can volunteer at The Crew. You can volunteer at Pregnancy Problem House or Ebenezer. You know, we're going to tell you more about it next week, so make sure you come. Your whole small group can volunteer together. You can create a new group with your office friends or something to volunteer at these amazing organizations. And we're going to tell you more about that next week. And the final week is the Love Week, where you get to sign up to give blood, to participate in Operation Christmas Child. It's going to be just a fantastic period of generosity over the next few weeks. All right, done? If you need any help with this, make sure you ask any one of us with this t-shirt or with the No Perfect People Love t-shirt, and they can help you more that a bit later on, okay?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.